Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to mute everybody, if that's okay. Please don't take it personally. It's just so that we can focus on the shear. And then I'm going to put the sheets onto the chat so that we can all have those. I put them on already, but I'll put them on just once again. Just one second. You should get them any second now. Yep, there they go again. So you should have those any second as well. And then we will introduce the shear. So good morning again. It's good to see you all. I would like to announce the sponsorship for today's shear. We're very grateful for the sponsorship. The shear-in for the whole of the academic year, for the whole of 2021, have been sponsored anonymously in the merit of an Aliyah Neshama for Matasyahu Ben Yisrael, Aaron Ben Menachem Leib, and Eliana Bat Yaakov. We are very grateful to our anonymous donor and wish that the neshamas of those dear souls should have an Aliyah in the merit of their kind sponsorship. So thank you for that. Now, where are we heading with these shiurim? I'm very excited to say that today is shiur number 200 in the series. I never thought quite we'd get to 200. Maybe we'll get to 600. Please God. But we are on shiur 200 today, and we are dealing in the middle of a series on Hilchos Brachos. Last week we had a very topical shiur on the issue of the bracha on taking the COVID vaccine, and I don't know if any of you have thought about that, whether you've said the bracha or whatever. I had my second vaccine on Motzei Shabbos, and if anybody's interested, I said She'echianu, and Nishmas, and the Hirotzon, so that was one of the options there on the sheet, so I'm sure people are doing their own thing, speaking to their own Rabbonim. This week we are focusing on Birkas HaMitzvah. We're going to look at some inyanim related to the halachas and hashkafas of Birkas HaMitzvah, because I try wherever I can to connect the halachic and the hashkafic issues there. And next week I want to talk about this little guy over here. Who is this? This is a chocolate-coated raisin, okay? And anyone who knows me, I see my parents are on the shear there. Hi, Mom and Dad. Anyone who knows me will know that I'm particularly fond of chocolate-coated raisins. But they cause particular halachic questions that other things don't necessarily involve, and therefore I want to talk about this little fellow next week, the halachas of chocolate, and the brachas on chocolate, and the issues of chocolate coatings and things. We'll see that the combination of food technology and halacha will be, I think, will give us an interesting shear, just for one shear. I don't think I can do more than one shear on chocolate raisins, but one shear I think will be enough. But for today, we are in the world of Birkot HaMitzvah, the brachas that we make on mitzvahs. And as we said last time, the Rambam enumerates three different types of brachot. There are brachas on nenin, brachas on enjoying tastes and smells, etc., where we get pleasure from this world. There are brachas on mitzvot, before we say a mitzvah, before we do a mitzvah, shekel shalom mitzvot tzavot tzivanu. And then there are brachas on shevach, which we talked about last week, brachas of praise and thanks and prayer, etc., for what we have. Today, as I said, we will focus on Birkas HaMitzvah. I will share the screen now, and we'll start off with an understanding a little bit of where brachas come from. This is a general overview on brachas, but I think it's worthwhile doing because it will give us an insight into today's shiur. So the place to start, really, is the inspirational chapter in Dvarim, which tells us about what we're meant to be aiming for in life. What is the meaning of our lives? Let's have a look at number one. Dvarim is an incredibly inspirational sefer. Let's just read a few psukim from Perek Ches. Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. All these mitzvahs that I'm giving you today, today means this whole period in the desert. And interestingly, Yom here is an example of where Yom doesn't just mean a day, but it means a period of time. We talked about that when we were talking about the age of the universe and the 6 days of creation. But all the mitzvahs I'm giving you today, Tishmarun, look after them well, la'asot, to do them, lema'an tichyun, so you will live. God wants us to live, to connect with life. Uravitem, and we will multiply, uvatim, v'yirashtem, es, ha'aretz, yirishtem et ha'aretz. We will inherit the land, we will come to the land, conquer the land, and we will live in the land. Asher nishvah Hashem levotechem, which God promised to our fathers. V'zacharta et kol ha'derech. We have to remember that this has been a road. We didn't just arrive here, this has been a path. Asher hulichcha Hashem elokecha, zarbaim shana. This 40 years of galut, if you like, of going through the desert to get to the promised land, of course, is a mashal for all of our journeys through life. over the Galiyot that we've been through. Bamidbar, we've been through the desert. Laman onotcha, and it afflicted us. God afflicted us in this period. Lenasotcha, to test us. Moshe says, to test you, ledat, et asher, belivcha, what is truly in our minds. Hatishmo mitzvotavim la. Do we really want to keep mitzvot? Are we really connected or not? Vayamcha, v'yivecha, we were afflicted, we were hungry. V'yachilcha et aman, but God gave us this man. We've never seen anything like it. No one in the world had ever seen anything like this before. Lema'an hodiyachan. All of this was to teach us what? Key line. Ki lo al halechem levado yichir ha'adam. That we cannot in our life just live on lechem. On the physical things in life. Ki al kol motzi pi Hashem yichir ha'adam. The meaning of life and the sucker of life and the value of life is given to us through connecting with spiritual reality. That's an obvious message, but it needs to be said again and again and again, that the food that we eat is just a means to an end to connect with something far, far deeper and more meaningful and valuable. God's bringing us to this wonderful land, Eretz Nachalei Mayim, a land full of waters, gushing waters, Ayanot, Tomas, Yotzim, Bekar, Valhar, wells coming out in the mountains and the plains, Eretz Chita Sa'ira Gesen Te'ena Rimon Eretz Zayt Shemen Dvash. Of course, the Shiva Taminim, which are listed there. I'm not going into all the Shiva Taminim now. Eretz Asher Lo Yimitzken Etuchal Bav Lechem. You will not eat in small amounts. You will eat in with satisfaction. Lo Techsa Kolba. There is nothing lacking in this beautiful land. Eretz Asher Avnei HaBarzel, a land where the mountains are the stones are made of iron. U'Mohararehem Tachtsof Nechoshet, and the mountains will give us copper. And then is the key phrase. Va'achalta, and then you will eat. Va'savata, and you will be satisfied. Uve'rachta, and you will bless if Hashem lokecha la'aretz, ha'toyva, asher natan lach. And sometimes we don't see that brocha in its context. The context of Hashem is saying to us, we have to connect with something which is fundamentally meaningful. And the bread and the food is there as a means to an end to do that. And Eretz Yisrael and all the wonderful things that we have here are a means of making that connection even more real. And therefore that brocha, V'achalta, v'savata, uverachta, which is the one clear brocha which is from the Torah, could be also Birkat HaTorah is also from the Torah, but the brocha on bread, veggie, is clearly in the Torah. That is the model for all brochas. And that's why the Gemara says in number two, Hai man deboyin imihavi chasida. If somebody wants to become a chasid meaning someone who has ahava, who has love, who wants to connect with God through actions and be proactive in their, you know, the sticking to and dveikus to God, what should they do? Lekayim milei debrachos. They should learn about brachos. Because brachos are hundreds of little moments every day where we can just take a few seconds out and basically reiterate this idea, ki lo al halechem levado yichir ha'adam, ki al mekol motzi pi Hashem yichir ha'adam. That's what a bracha is. A bracha is there to remind us that there is a meaning to everything which can be accessed through our physical world, but is not the physical world itself. Fine. And therefore, the Gemara in a number of places said, and it's important for us to learn this in number three, Tana Rabbanon, there's a whole list of opinions here in the Gemara in Brachas Lamed Hay, Asa lo la'adim shi'ahani min ha'olam hazeh b'loi brocha. We're not allowed to gain benefit from this world without brocha, without making this acknowledgement. V'chol ha'ne'ni min ha'olam hazeh b'loi brocha, and if we do such, which a benefit from this world without brocha, ma'al. Ma'al me'ile is as if we took something which was holy, something which was sanctified, and used it and abused it, used it for our own personal use without acknowledging its connection to Hashem. Ma'itikante, so what can you do? Yelech etzel chacham, so go learn hilchas brachas. Go to a rabbi, go to a shir on brachas. So the Gemara says, Yelech etzel chacham, what will that do if I already abuse the world? Ma'avidle, what can he do? He can't give me absolution. We don't believe in that. We're not Catholics. You can't say three Hail Marys and everything will be okay. It's not like that. Ela amarava yelech etzel chacham mi'ikara. Go to a rabbi in advance. So he'll learn the brachas and he'll teach you hilchas brachas. Kedei shelo yavali dei milah, so that you won't do all the wrong things and abuse the world. Okay, so learning hilchas brachas is an imperative. It's a root to chasidut, to appreciating Hashem. And so too, the next opinion, Shmuel says as follows. Amarav Yehuda amashmuel. It's as if we ate a korban. If we eat from this world without acknowledging its connection to God, it's as if we ate from a korban. Shneimar laHashem haaretz umlao. The whole world belongs to God. Ah, Rabbi, a very famous statement here. Rabbi Levi contrasts two verses. Sivit says La Hashem Haaretzum La, the whole world belongs to God, and yet it says Hashemayim Shamayim La Hashem. Baharis Natan Lifnei Adam. God gave the heavens to God has the heavens for the spiritual realm, and the land He gave to us. So which is it? Does the world belong to God, or does the world belong to us? Loi Kasha, no problem. I'll tell you what the resolution is. Can Kaidim a Bracha? One is before you made the Bracha. The Kan La'acha Bracha, and one is after you made the Bracha. Now, on a kind of obvious pshat, if you like, level, it means that before you made the Bracha, the Hashem Ha'aretz Umala, the whole world belongs to Hashem. I can't take part in it. And after I make the Bracha, the Ha'aretz Natan Lifnei Adam. Now, God has given the world to us as well. Sorry, I just need to put everyone back on mute. There's quite a lot of background noise there. Sorry about that. Why has that not gone away? That's strange. Oh, now it's gone away. Okay, good. So obviously on a sort of pshat level, that's what's going on here. I once heard from Rabbi Riskin, and this sounds like a vort from the Hasidim, but it's a beautiful idea. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe before we made the bracha, we're thinking, Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem V'Haaretz Natan Lifnei Adam. Heaven is heaven and we have the earth and that's still a physical. And after we make the bracha, we realize, no, LaHashem Haaretz Umala'ah. Really everything has Kedusha, the physical as well. So you could learn this Gemara backwards and forwards in different ways. And finally, the Gemara says here, Amar Abchanin Bar Papa, Kol Hanani Min Ha'olam Azeh B'Loi Bracha. If we benefit from this rule without a bracha, Ke'ilu Goizel LaKadosh Baruch Hu Uchinetis Yisrael. It's as if we're stealing from God and we're stealing from the Jewish people. And Rashi makes it clear there, because when we're taking this without making brachas and therefore doing an Aveira by doing that, then the fruit, we won't get the bracha from Hashem that Hashem's promised if we keep the mitzvahs, and therefore we're stealing only from ourselves by not doing this. All of this is quite familiar, beautiful ideas in why we should be making brachas. And I just brought you a line from Rav Soloveitchik, an important one which you'll be familiar with, in number 4, about Kedusha. An individual does not become holy through mystical adhesion to the absolute, nor through mysterious union with the infinite. It's not some kind of purely some kind of hitvodadut, where you connect with an abstract spiritual idea, but rather through his whole biological life. This is halachic man, actualizing the halacha in the empirical world. Holiness is created by man, flesh and blood. Through the power of our mouths, through verbal sanctification alone, we can create holy offerings. And I think this is apposite to this idea of making brachas. Okay, good. So that's before you have a cup of tea, before you have a bowl of porridge, whatever it is. You have to acknowledge and make a bracha and sanctify what one's doing. But what about a mitzvah? Why do I need to make a bracha before I do a mitzvah? I'm doing a mitzvah. The mitzvah itself is evidence that I am connecting through this mitzvah to Hashem. So why do I need a bracha on that? So let's move into Birkas HaMitzvah and look at that in more detail. So where is the first time we ever see a Birkas HaMitzvah? It's not mentioned in the Torah itself. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah except obliquely in the following place. Number 5. Get into the Pesach mode now. It's only around 65 days to Pesach. I just wanted to remind you of that, in case you've forgotten or you wish to forget. So let's get into some Pesach ideas already. Number 5. Birech, the very last Mishnah in Pesach. Birech Birkas HaPesach, Pasa et Shel Zevach. If you made a bracha on the Pesach offering, that exempts you for the Zevach, the Chagiga, the Korban Chagiga, that we have at the Seder night as well. Birech al shel zevach, but if you made a brocha on the chagiga, loy pata et shel pesach. It doesn't cover the korban pesach. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel's view. Rabbi Yekiva omer, lo zo potoret zo, ve lo zo potoret zo. Each of them are independent. You have to make 2 brochas. A brocha on the pesach, and a brocha on the zevach. What are these brochas? What are these brochas you're making? So in number 6, the Tosefta kicks in and says, Ezehi birkas ha-pesach. What is this brocha on the pesach, or the zevach? Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu Lochal Pesach. That is the Birkas HaZevach. What is the bracha on the Zevach, on the Chagiga? Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu Lochal HaZevach. Now, according to that Tosefta, these brachas Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu go back all the way to the Beis HaMikdash. They go back all the way to the time when we ate the korbanos. That idea, that formulation of a brocha, Sheh Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu, is very, very ancient. I must tell you, I put in the footnotes here that I found a very detailed article by Professor David Henschke. I don't know if you know Professor Henschke, anyone from Har Nof, might know Professor Enschke. He used to daven in the shul we davened in Haranoff. He's a very senior academic and rav as well. He wrote a whole 83-page article on Birkas HaMitzvah, which I referenced in the footnotes, where he says he doesn't think this bracha on the Pesach and the Zevach was indeed Asher Kiddushanu, not like the Tosefta, and he has other suggestions, and I brought you different ideas, early versions of the Haggadahs and what kind of brachas they had. They had some different wording than we have in ours, but let's leave that aside. Maybe this was some kind of a praise bracha, a Birkas HaShevach on the Pesach and the Zevach, but according to the Tosefta, it's a Birkas HaMitzvah like we know and love, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu. By the way, there are slightly other versions, maybe even older. Remember what we say on Kiddush on Friday night? Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'ratzavanu V'shabbat Kodshon. Maybe that is a more ancient version of the bracha, which was morphed into a Birkas HaMitzvah, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu. That's also a suggestion. You'll see the articles I brought you down. However, the Tosefta is very clear and says very very explicitly, number 7, Ha'oiser kol mitzvot, anyone who does any mitzvah, mevarich aleihem, you have to make a bracha. Now, when is the Tosefta? It's just after the Mishnah. And we'll see that the Amora Shmuel is one of the key people, we see the first generation after the Mishnah, who stresses this. Ha'oiser, for example, Ha'oiser sukkah, if you make a sukkah, la'atzma for yourself, what do you say? Baruch. Okay, we make a shechianu when we go to the sukkah. Maybe they even made on making the sukkah. I'm not getting into that now. Nichnas leishev ba, but when you go into the sukkah to do the mitzvah, what do you say? Baruch, and every time he says baruch, it means baruch atah Hashem mekenu melech olam. Asher kiddushanu mitzvotav v'tzivanu leishev ba sukkah. We all know this, and we'll see later on in the shiur, the wording of the bracha of the mitzvah is actually not so straightforward, and we'll try and work out what that really means. What is the understanding where do we know this from, this idea of making this bracha on the mitzvah? So we'll see certain ideas as to where this comes from, but the main sugya, which anyone who did Daf Yomi will have done this recently, is in Pesachim on the issue of Biur Chometz, and we'll have to look at this in depth in a few moments from now, but let's just start introduce it. And look at number 8 here. Amar Rav Yehuda, Habodek Tzarech Shevarech. If you do Bedikas Chometz the night before Pesach, you have to make a bracha on looking for the Chometz. Minalan, how do I know this? Says the Gemara, quotes this idea of the Tosefta. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol Mitzvah, every Mitzvah, Mavarech Aleihem, Oiver, Li'asiyasan. And we'll see what those last two words mean in a minute. You have to make a bracha, and you have to do it Oiver Li'asiyasan. Let's say before you do the Mitzvah. We'll see what that means, and we'll analyze that point in a minute. Why? Why would I need to make a bracha on a mitzvah? So the Ritva gives three reasons. The Ritva suggests, number one, maybe I need to sanctify myself before the mitzvah. Reason number one. Reason number two, he says, I need to reinforce my kavana, a little bit like a hinini mukhunu mezuman. I need to make sure that I do this mitzvah with proper kavana, because a mitzvah has to be done with kavana, or at least it should be. Not getting into mitzvah srichos kavana, mitzvah enos srichos kavana right now. Certainly a Torah mitzvah should be done with kavana. And also to add a spiritual dimension to the physical mitzvah act. Meaning when I'm doing an act, which could be very nuts and bolts, I'm shaking a plant in the air, someone looking at me saying, well, why does that guy shake plants in the air? So the answer is no. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al netilas lulav. It adds, it makes sure that I do an avodah, look at his wording here. Va'oid, number 9 at the end, va'oid ki habrochas me'avoidas ha'nefesh. A brocha is an avoidas ha'nefesh. It comes from deep down in our souls, in our minds. Va'ra'oi la'hakdin, avoidas ha'nefesh le'mase, shehi avoidas ha'guf. Before I do a physical act, which someone could see as being a little bit ritual or devoid of a spiritual meaning, I must say, do an avoidas ha'nefesh. The brocha itself is, so on a certain level, the brocha is a Torah obligation to connect with Hashem, of Dveikas, before you do the mitzvah. So the Ritva gives all these reasons. The Chinuch adds another element. He says that the Birkas HaMitzvah is almost like a praise. Thank you, Hashem, for all these amazing mitzvahs. Look what he said, number 10. V'chiyavnu, okay, we have an obligation, levarech Hashem, alahodot lefanav, to thank before God, al kol hatoiva asher gemalanu ba'asoseinu b'mitzvotav ha'yikarot. Okay, we have a mitzvah to say thank you. It's amazing. We appreciate doing mitzvahs, and therefore we thank Hashem for the ability to do these Somebody just put a question up here. Some mitzvahs you do them without a bracha, they still count. Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that exact issue in a few minutes. That is Rav Hashem. Okay, fine. The Rambam, however, introduces an idea which Rav Soloveitchik also picks up on. Look at the wording of the Rambam in number 11. He says, "Kashem shem avarachim al hayane hanaya." Just like we need to make a bracha on physical benefit, on eating, drinking, smelling things, etc., al hanaya, kach mavarachim al kol mitzvah mitzvah. So too, we make a bracha on all the mitzvahs, da'acha kach yaseh atam, after we do them. So that kashem is very important. Because Rav Soloveitchik picks up on that and he says that just like you need to make a brocha in order to eat a donut, because eating the donut is in a sense an abuse of the physical in this world without preparing yourself and acknowledging why I'm eating the donut, so too he says even a mitzvah needs a matir. It needs something to allow you to do it. Remember we said anyone who eats or drinks in this world without making a brocha is abusing kodshim in some way. So too, anyone who does a mitzvah without acknowledging the spiritual aspect of the mitzvah is abusing the mitzvah. It's interesting that he gets that out of the Rambam, Kashem Shemavarachim. Just like we make brachas on food, so too the same reason we make brachas on mitzvahs. So even a mitzvah itself cannot just be run into. You can't just pick up the lulav and shake it. You have to acknowledge that I'm not allowed to do this mitzvah. This mitzvah is holy, it's kodesh, unless I acknowledge and prepare myself that I'm able to do it. So you see there's lots and lots to say about Birkas HaMitzvah, why we do them, sanctifying the mitzvah ourselves, etc., Kavana, lots of things to talk about here. Now, let's talk about when you make the mitzvah. And here it's going to get a little bit more exciting, I think, and we're going to bring in some unusual conversations. What did we see before? We saw the Gemara said when you do a mitzvah, you have to make a bracha. Let's look at that Gemara in a little bit more depth in number 12. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kol mitzvahs, all mitzvahs that we do, mavarech aleihem oyveli asiyasa. We do that, we make the bracha before. Okay, and what does before mean? My mashma lahai oyveli shnedak tumihu. How do I know the word over means before? Maybe it means something else. During, after. Then he brings a few psukim. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, he said, I'll prove it to you. The Amakra, he brings the pasuk where Achimaatz is running to tell David HaMelech the news that Avshalom has died, has been killed. It says, "Vayaret Achimaatz derech hakikar v'yavor et haKushi." He overtook the Kushi who was running to tell, you know, the story there in Shmuel Bet in chapter Yud-Ted, where the Kushi was sent by Yoav to tell the news to David that Avshalom has been killed, and Achimaatz overtook him. Okay, so it sounds like it's in front of. The language of Over. Abaya said, Mihacha v'hu avar l'kmehem, Yaakov goes before the Imahot to meet Esau. V'iboy se'ema mihacha, maybe even from here, v'yavo ma'akam l'kmehem v'hashem v'roshah. Many verses where the word Over sounds like it means before. Okay, fine. So I need to make a brocha before I do the mitzvah. Fine. Chutz min tefillah v'shofar. Oh, interesting. With two exceptions. Tefillah and shofar. Going to the mikvah and blowing the shofar. Now, when we blow the shofar, do we make the bracha before or afterwards? We make the bracha before. What about the mikvah? We'll see that in a minute. So the Gemara says, Vishlam atzfila, I get the mikvah, I understand the mikvah. De'ik gavra, de'akati gavra loichazi, that the person is not yet able to make a bracha until they do the tefillah. We'll see what that means in a minute. And a shofar, my timer, why are you telling me shofar? That doesn't make any sense. This is the question. How do I know I'm not going to mess up the mitzvah? Maybe I can't make a bracha on the shofar in case, you must have all been in shuls, where the guy makes the bracha, and then no sound comes out. Okay? So we've all been there. I was once in shul many years ago when it turned out there was a bone inside the shofar. How a bone gets inside the shofar, I have no idea. I remember it to this day. And the poor guy, the Baal Tzakei, was blowing his guts out so to get no sound. So the Gemara might say, well, maybe you can't make a bracha because nothing's going to happen. Since it's ihachi, if that's the case, afilu shchita umila nami. You'd never make a bracha before a mitzvah in case you messed it up. I might mess up my shchita. I might mess up my mila, God forbid. So that can't be the reason. Ela amachita chutz min atfila bilvat. Just take away shofar. Shofar you make in the normal way, but tefillah you have to make the bracha afterwards. We'll see why in a minute. Tanya mehachi, taval va'ala, you go to the mikveh, you come up, va'aliyasa ayma, and when you come up, you say, Baruch ata Hashem, elokeinu melech ha'olam, asher yitzanu zolkanu, al ha'tfila. Okay, so tfila seems to be an exception. Let's look at that now. So the general rule, therefore, is that all brachas we do, someone said, what about Shabbos candles? Hold your horses. We're going to get to Shabbos candles in just a moment. Okay? Tefillah seems to be an exception. Why? Why can't you make the bracha before you go to the mikvah? So the Gemara said, because you're not able yet, you're not allowed yet to make a bracha. Why are you not allowed to make a bracha before you go to the mikvah? So Rashi and Tosfos disagree. Rashi says, kegoyin tefillah balkeri. This is talking about the tefillah of a balkeri. A balkeri is a man or a woman who had a seminal emission, and there was a halacha put in place, the Rabbanon, by Ezra, that no man who had seminal emission was allowed to learn Torah, was allowed to say brachas, he wasn't allowed to daven until he'd been to the mikveh. So I'm stuck, says Rashi. I want to go to the mikveh. I need to go to the mikveh to allow me to make a bracha, so I can't make a bracha before. I go to the mikveh, and then I can make a bracha. And he says here, Dikaima Lamba Brochas, in number 13, we pass Gashe Asa B'divrei Torah B'brocha. A man, or maybe even a woman, is not allowed to make brochas until they've been to the mikveh if they had a seminal emission. Or Mishum Hahu Tzvila, because of this Tzvila, Tikkun B'chol HaTzvila, they made a rule for all Tzvilas, because of the stuff that you make a brocha afterwards. Okay. So, Tosfos doesn't like that. Tosfos says that's not true. And I'll tell you why it's not true. Because number one, we don't really paskin anymore like that idea that a balkeri cannot make brachas. A balkeri can make brachas. Look at Tosfos here. Omer Rabbeinu Chananel. He quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. B'shem Hagon. Dafke with Tfilas Ger. No, it's Tfilas Ger. It's a non-Jewish convert. Think about it. You're a non-Jew. You come to the mikveh. They say when you come out of that mikveh, you'll be Jewish. So I want to make a bracha. But I can't make a bracha before I go in the mikveh because I'm still non-Jewish. How can I say, Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu, God didn't command me, so I have to go to the mikveh, and then I can make the bracha. So it has to be that way. The Loi Chazi Kaidem, he can't make the bracha before, because he's not Jewish, before Tzvila. The Loi Matzilememe V'Tzivanu, he can't say V'Tzivanu. We'll see soon with women and mitzvahs, positive time by mitzvahs. Zakati Nachrihu, he's still a non-Jew. Aval B'Shar Chayvi Tzvila, but other kinds of Tzvila, in theory, you could do it before. Could go in Balkeri, Kiyotivan, Mutilavarif, you could make a bracha before. Kidam Preen, and then he brings out the psak here. Nog Alma Kitzlat, say, Sabi Debe Rabbi Shua. Then we go like, Rabbi Yehuda, rather, in three areas, for Balkeri, Shiocha, Leit Palel. We paskin that a Balkeri can daven, can make brachas, the Varif, with little Mudkoda Mitzvila. Now, the Afal Piken, Omeri, De Ein Ligor Banashim. So what about women? Women, according to him, therefore, should make a bracha before they go in the mikveh. But don't shout at women who want to make a bracha afterwards, him avarakas achat tfila, came with the ikat tfilas ger, since tfilas ger has to be before, the loy matzil avarak, since he can't make a bracha before, then the tfila has to come before the bracha, loy chilku, therefore they said, according to some poskim, all tfilas are in the same mode, if you like, that you make the bracha afterwards. V'chein netilas yadayim. Someone raises, v'chein netilas yadayim. Think about it, why can't I make the bracha before? I should go to the sink, you know, fill up the kli, say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Lekeinim Elacham, Shaduk Shalom, Zadadav, Alitilas Yadayim, and then wash my hands. Well, why not? I can make a bracha beforehand. It's because, says Tosfos, Tfilas Ger has to be, the bracha has to come afterwards, all kinds of tfila, they made that as well. Lo Chilku, they made no distinctions. Sometimes you might come out of the toilet, and you're not able to wash your hands, like in the morning, let's say you use the toilet, you need to make an Alitilas Yadayim, so you have to wash your hands, in order to even make a bracha. The line matzah levarech kodem. And then he says at the end, and with the tefillas yadayim anyway, it could be that you need to dry your hands, and the drying of the hands is also part of the mitzvah. And that's what we do, by the way. We try and satisfy all this. When we wash the tefillas yadayim, we wash our hands, then make the bracha, then dry our hands. You shouldn't dry your hands before you make the bracha, because the drying is you like the bit of the mitzvah that comes after the bracha. Okay? So that explains why tefillah and the tefillah shadayim, and he then brings at the end, it could be that also people might be scared to go into the sea. Sometimes tefillah is in the sea, in the ocean, and if they made a bracha before, they might cop out and say, oh, I'm not going in, it's too dangerous. So you make a bracha afterwards. And by the way, what is the psak? What do women do when they go to the mikveh? Look at the Shulchan Aruch. Just to end this bit with a halacha. When a woman removes her clothing to go to the mikveh, she's still standing in her robe. She makes a bracha. So the Machaba paskins that a woman should make the bracha and then go in the mikveh. Then she goes, she takes off her robe and she goes to the mikveh. If she doesn't make the bracha, then she can make it afterwards. She can make it when she's up to her neck in water, maybe make the water a bit more, bubbly so that she can't see herself under the water. But the Ramah comes up and says no. The Yesh Omrim, Shalot Tavarech Ad Da'achat Tfila. Our Minagi said is that she doesn't make the bracha before she goes to the mikveh. She first goes in the water, maybe puts her hands like this, maybe makes the water, you know, go a little bit murky, and then she says the bracha when she's in the mikveh. And so too, when she's in the mikveh, she makes the bracha, then she does another dip. Okay? They cover her with some kind of a cloth or a towel or whatever, or b'chalukah, umavarechet. And actually, as far as I'm aware, that is the practice. Sephardi women, many Sephardi women, make the bracha on tefillah before they go into the mikveh. They say the bracha, and then they go to the mikveh. Whereas Ashkenazi women, generally speaking, they go to the mikveh, they dunk in the mikveh, and then they say, Asher Kiddushan Mitzvah Zivan Ala Tefillah, they cover them over a little bit, and then they dunk again. The truth is, you can dunk as many kinds of times as you like. There are different minhagim about how many times women go in and out of the mikveh. You don't just have to do it once, you can do it, some do it 14 times, some do it 49 times. I mean, I've never really made a study of this. I can tell you though, once I was once in a men's mikveh before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and there was some bocher in front of me who insisted on going in and out of the water 613 times. Okay, just wanted to make that point, and I said to him that it sounds like a beautiful chumrah in Hilchas Mikveh, but not so great in Hilchas Bein Adam Lechaveiro, when everybody else is waiting for him to go in and out, literally 613 times, put his hands in and out of the water. I said to him, what are you doing? He said, no, I have to go to the mikveh 613 times. Okay, fine. He's probably still there in the mikveh, you know, doing it while we speak. Fine. So that's the idea of tefillah. Tefillah, the bracha often comes afterwards because of the model of either Bar Keri or the model of the ger, the convert, that's why the Tilat Shedayim looks like it does. Shabbos candles. What about Shabbos candles? Because Shabbos candles is a big problem. We should really make the bracha before. So let's open here, number 60. Kishayadlik, says the Shulchan Aruch, when you make a bracha on Shabbos candles. So someone said, how can you make a bracha without covering your private parts? Okay, that's a whole shira in and of itself. It's different for men and for women. Let me just leave it at that for now. And if you want to look in the Shulchan Aruch there, in Siman Ayin, Aleph, Ayin Bet, etc., it goes into all of the details. Number 16, Kishayadlik, Shabbos candles. Well, you should definitely have your clothes on when you light Shabbos candles. That's for sure. Yivarech baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu mitzvah tzivanu, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. Okay? Everyone agrees. Echad ha'ish, it doesn't matter if you're a man, echad ha'isho, or you're a woman, this is the brocha. V'gam b'yontzef, tzarech levarech lahadlik ner shel yontzef. Okay, good. So what does that mean? Keshe yadlik. When you light, you make the brocha. Do I make the brocha before? Do I make the bracha during? Do I make the bracha after? So the Ramah comes in here and says the following. The Yesh Misha'aymer, there is a minhag, there are those that say, Kishim Avarachin Kaidim Avlaka, that you have to make the bracha before you light the candles, okay? So just in a normal way. So the woman would say, Hashem Kishami Tzatam Zang Lahadlik Neshel Shabbos, light the candles. But that's not what anyone here does, right? The Yesh Misha'aymer Shem Avarach Acha Hadlaka. But maybe you have to make the bracha after you light the candles. Why? Kadeshi, hey, Oval, it's Yasan, because he doesn't say why, but we're worried about the opinion of the Bahag. The Bahag, one of the Gaonim, says that the minute you make the bracha, you accept Shabbos on yourself. The woman has been makabel Shabbos, and so now she said, Ashaykh Shabbos is a Shabbos, Sivan, and a Hadlik Neshel Shabbos. Now she's stuck. She can't light the flame anymore because she's just been makabel Shabbos. So that's why we do the other way around. And in order, or kedei, back in the source here, 16, kedei sheyehei over lasiyata, to make it a little bit like a bit of show and tell, to pretend a little bit that the bracha is before, lo yihana memenu ad shela acha bracha. You don't get any benefit from the candles, you kind of block them out, or you block them out from your eyes, because the point of Shabbos candles is to use them. That's the whole point. Unlike Hanukkah candles, where you're not allowed to use them, Shabbos candles, you're meant to use them, so you cover your eyes to if you like, not get any benefit. things like all they used to do is put the hand by the candle there. Then you take away your hands. Hey presto. That is enough to say that you did the bracha before you did the act. And that is the minhag. And in fact, the minhag of many Sephardi women is indeed, or some Sephardi women, is to make the bracha before. But the overwhelming minhag is to make the bracha afterwards. And I'm sure that everybody, every woman on this Zoom who lights Shabbos candles all through her life has done it exactly the way the Ramah said, probably even the Sephardim amongst us, that they light the candles, make the bracha, and then see what's going on. The question is, what's with a man? Is there any reason for a man to do that? And the answer is absolutely not. A man should always make the bracha first, and then light the candles. Because men are not makabel Shabbos when they light candles. Unless they want to be. But there's no reason for them to be. Usually they shouldn't be because they need to daven mincha afterwards. Women are normally makabel Shabbos unless they decide not to be. But then the question is, what about on Yom Tov? What should a woman do on Chag? Because on Chag, even if she is makabel Yom Tov, even if she accepts Yom Tov on herself, she can still light the candle afterwards. It's not like Shabbos. So should she switch it? Should she make the bracha the other way around on Yom Tov? Before lighting Yom Tov candles, should she say the bracha first? And then light, or should she do it the way she does on Shabbos? So the Magen Avraham here quotes Rabbanit Bela Falk. This is a very unusual occurrence that one of the Mephoshim on Shulchan Aruch quotes a woman who paskens the halacha. So look how it works here, number 17. Achara hadlaka. You should always make the bracha afterwards. De'im tevarech, if she breaks the bracha before, kibla the Shabbat. It's talking about Shabbat. She's already accepted Shabbos, lo'ez v'hadlik. The aim came, if so, b'yontef, on yontef, tavarech, let her make a brocha, v'achakach tadlik, and only after that she should light the candle. The came cause of the Sefer Adrisha, and he quotes the Sefer Adrisha, v'evena ezer, b'shem imoy, in the name of his mother. His mother, Rabbanit Bela Falk, and she's living here, she's the wife of the preacher, the Drisha, Rabbi Yeshua Falk, living in the late 1500s, she passed him this halacha, it was a chiddush. And he answers the Magen Avraham, Aval ein chochma le'isha. But women don't know how to pasken halacha. I'm not listening to a woman who paskens halacha. Deloi chilku chachamim. No one ever did that before. Meaning, he said, look, so if this is not an unusual question. Someone should have thought of this. She's the first person that thought of this. It must be that the rabbis wanted everybody, the minhag was, to do the same on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rabbanit Bela Falk is a very interesting woman. I brought you a number 18. I'm not going to read it through now because I don't have time. But her son, when he talks about his mother in the introduction there to the Prisha, which was written by her husband, his father, he talks about the righteousness of his mother. She was always in the Ezra's Noshim before anyone else. She had the keys and she locked up 2 hours later because her davening took hours longer than everybody else's. And when they sat around the Shabbos table, she had Divrei Torah flowing, and she used to, you know, she could answer any question, she could pasken halacha better than half the men there, and he talks about how amazing his mother was, and she is very famous for a few halachic psakim, for your halachic rulings, and this is one of them, that a woman should light Yom Tov candles only after she makes the bracha. Okay, someone made a point of Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur is different because with Yom Kippur, you can always make a Tanai. She just can't say She'achianu, that's all. But she'll have to light from an existing fire, correct. A woman has to light from an existing flame on Yom Tov. I put that in the notes. That's 100% correct. However, actually, we don't follow the Magen Avraham. The minhag is to pasken like Rabbanit Bela Falk. Look in the Rabbi Vadi Yosef, number 19. This is the psak in the name of his mother, Harabanit. Lachalek b'min hagam, to make a difference in minag, bein brikas neiris Shabbos, lebrikas neiris Yom Tov. Va'af al-pisha ha-magin Avram kasa, but even though the Magen Avraham writes about her, ein chochma min isha ela lepelech, the only women are good for weaving, but they're not good for psak halacha. Why? The loy plug rabbanon, because the rabbis never distinguished bein Shabbos leYom Tov, and how come she's the first person that thought about this? Says Rabbi Vagia, excuse me. Mikol makam kvar hiskimu achronim ledivrei harabanit. The achronim are passing like the rabbanit, and not like the Magen Avraham. Shehi ha'isha asher nasa liba b'chochma. She was a very wise and a very very focused woman, and there's no reason why a woman can't pass in halacha. There is no reason why a woman can't be a poseket halakha as long as she knows what she's doing, and therefore he paskens like the rabbinic bed. A really interesting little vignette there. I'm not going to really do number 20 and 21. There's a discussion about whether you can make a bracha during the mitzvah or not. That could be a part of the whole discussion. And it could be that the bracha is really intertwined with the mitzvah. There is an idea that maybe the bracha and the mitzvah are ma'akev each other. You can't do the mitzvah without the bracha. Now, we actually paskin that that you don't need the bracha to do the mitzvah. And someone mentioned that on the chat. You can always do a mitzvah without the bracha. The bracha is not ma'akev because we paskin the bracha the drabonon. But were brachas on a Torah level, then they would be needed in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But everybody knows that there's, you know, if someone tells you you can do the mitzvah without doing the bracha, so it feels like a bit of a shachamaisa, no? You know, oh, it's fine, you can keep on counting the omer, you just can't make a bracha now. So anyone who has ever been in this position is probably identified. It's not the same counting the omer without a bracha. In fact, a lot of people think, well, there's no point really counting the omer anymore if I can't make a bracha. We paskin that really, the ikah hadin, you should be able to make a bracha because each night is a different mitzvah. But because of the view that it's one 49-day unit, so we say best off not making the bracha. So you see from people's attitude to that they really don't want to do the mitzvah without a bracha, so the bracha and the mitzvah are really intertwined. And I brought you on the sheet a little bit on how we do the bracha before the esrog, because when you pick up the lulav, you already did the mitzvah, turn it upside down. I brought you different variations there as to how you do that. But I want to move on, because there are two more issues that I need to discuss, and one of them is simple, but one of them is complicated. So we need the last 20 minutes to really get through this. Have a look, please, on page five. There are a few little questions. What are the wording of the bracha? Asher kiddushanu. The Abarbanel says it's like a kiddushin. It's almost like a marriage to Hashem, that Hashem it betroths us, if you like, through giving us the mitzvahs. So Asher kiddushanu is part of that whole process. And Vitzivanu, of course, there's an entire discussion about whether women can say Vitzivanu on a positive time-bound mitzvah. It's not so clear why, I don't know why there's all that background noise, oh, it's gone now, why a woman should be able to say Vitzivanu on a positive time-bound mitzvah, because how can she say that God commanded her to do it? We talked about that before when we looked at women's mitzvahs. Let me just look briefly at 24 and 25, because I'll bring you a new source that we didn't see there. Look in number 24. Amar Abichia Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Hamadlik Ner Shel Chanukah Tzarech Levarech. What do you say on a Hanukkah candle? Okay? There's this issue of mitzvahs derabbanon, which is a fascinating question. When you light Hanukkah candles, what bracha do you make? My mevarech. What bracha do you make there? Mevarech asher kiddushanu mitzvah tzivanu lahadlik nesh Hanukkah. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, hey chan tzivanu, where do we see there's a Torah mitzvah? You just told me God commanded you to light Hanukkah candles. No, not true. God never included Hanukkah as one of the Tariag mitzvahs. The Gemara answers, famous answer, Rav Avi Omer Miloy Sosor. There is a mitzvah in the Torah to follow the words of the rabbis. Loy Sosor. And Rav Nechemya said, Mishal Avicha V'yageicha Zikenecha V'yom Lulach, to be connected to a Masorah. And therefore, the reason that we can make a bracha, Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Tzav Tzivanu, on a rabbinic mitzvah, is because we are commanded by the Torah to listen to the rabbis. So it's interesting, according to the Rambam, at least, on a philosophical level, at least a theoretical level, every rabbinic mitzvah is actually also a Torah mitzvah, possibly even two Torah mitzvahs. If I eat a piece of pork, I broke one Torah mitzvah. If I move a pen on Shabbos, maybe I even broke two more Torah mitzvahs, because the rabbinic mitzvah, to listen to the rabbis, kicks in. In fact, the Yerushalmi says, suggests, and this is remarkable, just look at the Yerushalmi here, number 25, Hakol Moedim B'Yontef Rishon Shehu Oimer Al Netilas Lulav. What bracha do you make on a lulav on the first day of Sukkot? Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Tzav Tzivanu Al Netilas Lulav. Ma Pligin. So what is the disagreement? B'Shar Kol Yomim. What bracha do I make on the lulav the rest of Yontef? Why? Because don't forget, every other day of Chag of Sukkot is Drabonon. The lulav is Drabonon. Sukkah is a Torah mitzvah for the whole of Yontef. But lulav is a rabbinic mitzvah. So what bracha do I make? So Rabbi Yochanan says, Al Netilas Lulav, we make the same bracha, whether it's Torah or rabbinic. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no, Al Mitzvah Sakenim. A remarkable shita. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in Yerushalmi says, on every rabbinic mitzvah, you make the same bracha. Whether it's shaking a lulav in the middle of Sukkot, lighting Hanukkah candles, lighting Shabbos candles, making an Erev, you always make the same bracha. Asher kiddushanu mitzvah savet tivanu al mitzvah zekenim. Because really, the mitzvah you're doing when you do these rabbinic mitzvahs is this mitzvah to listen to the rabbis. It's fascinating. Now, we obviously don't pass in that way. We give each mitzvah its own bracha, even if it's rabbinic, but just so that you know that there is a view, there's a shita out there, that all rabbinic mitzvahs get the same bracha to listen to the words of the rabbi, because that's really, the rabbis and the Sanhedrin, that's really what you're doing. Fine. It's 11 o'clock. I need the last 15 minutes to open up, I won't be able to close it again, but to open up one of the most tricky issues in this whole debate, which is, how do we decide whether to make the bracha al or la? For example, al netilat yadayim. Why isn't it, asher kiddushanu mitzvah savet tivanu, lintol yadayim? That makes sense. Why is it al netilat yadayim? And why is it, for example, something to the lamad, lishmoa bekol shofar? Why does it not say, asher kiddushanu mitzvah savet tivanu, al shmiat kol shofar? There are any number of options you could have there. In fact, there are three options. There's the lamad infinity option, likboa mezuzah. There's the al plus a gerund, al nitilat yadayim. Then there's the al mitzvat tzitzit, al mitzvat, etc. So how do we decide how that works? And this is one of the most complicated issues in Hilchos Birkas HaMitzvah. And the Gemara actually raises this. Let's look at the Gemara briefly together, and then I will show you some of the different views on this. We will not be able to do it all today, but I will show you 8 different approaches as to how this works. Look here in number 26. Amar Rav Yehuda, Haboid Aboidik Sarashi Yavarech. So the Gemara says, before you do Bedikas Chametz, you have to make a bracha. Mai Mavarech, what bracha do you make? Rav Papi says, Mish in the name of Rava, Levaer Chametz, which is not what we do. Ashek Yisham Yisrael Zvanu, Levaer Chametz. Rav Papa Amar, Bishveda Rava, Rav Papa says, no, Rava never said that. He said, Al Biur Chomet. So there's Rav Papi and Rav Papa. Now, Leva'er, says the Gemara, Kole Alma Loi Kli Yidavada the Habal Asher. It sounds like you're doing it before. He commanded me to do this, and now I'm going to do it. Ki Pligi, it sounds like the argument is, but Al. What does the word Al mean? Al Biur. Marsava, one view says, Mi'ikara Mashmi. It sounds like you're doing something that you already broke on, something you already did. Well, Mar Savan, the other one says, Lahaba Mashmeh, sounds like, no, you can, it's something you're about to do. So then they ask a few questions. The Gemara says, Baruch Atah Hashem Melekeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Savet Tivanu, Al Hamila. Al Hamila. So, Al Hamila is before you do the Mila, right? So why don't you say Lamul? Why is it Al Hamila? So the Gemara says, Hasan Heichinami, what are you going to say? Mina Lamul? And because lamul sounds like God's commanded you to do the mila, so lo sagi the lo ihu mahamayil, someone else can do it for me. So avia ben ma'ikilameima. So what about the father who is commanded? Enachinami. Oh, sounds from the Gemara that the father actually makes a different bracha on the mila. He says lamul. If a father does the mila, when my son had his bris mila, the giant down Aaron tree, he should have a refuah shalema, please God. He asked me if I wanted to do the mila myself. And I said, no, thank you very much. I don't shech my own cows. I'm happy for other people to do that for me. Then I'm very happy for you to do the mila for me. You'll be much more professional than I am. But the Gemara seems to say that if I'd done the mila myself, I would have said lamul, not alhamila. Okay. And then the Gemara asked the question of shechita. Do you say al hashechita or lishchot? And he says the same thing. If you're doing it for your own mitzvah, maybe you say lishchot. Otherwise, you say al hashechita. And then he'd ask the question on lulav. What about lulav? Why does it say al netilat lulav? And the Gemara seems to say that, well, it's because you've already started. When you pick up the lulav, you're already in the middle of the mitzvah. So al seems to be more retrospective on taking the lulav, and therefore you can say al netilat lulav because the mitzvah's already happening. Now, what confuses and perplexes everybody here is, can I bring out any rules on this? Are there any hard and fast rules? And what I've brought you here, and this you can really look at in your own time. First of all, I've brought you a table. There's a very good article by Rav Yoron Ben David, which I brought you a link to. This is just a table of the brachas we make. There are around 33 brachas that we make on mitzvahs. And you can look down this list. Some of them are very familiar. And on the right-hand side, he's put the al's. Al bi'al chometz, al tzilas lulav, al spirit ha'omer, al mitzvah sitzis, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And on the left-hand side, he's put the le. Likro et ha'alel. Le ha'miyach tefillin. Le shei besukah. Le hadlik shel yom shabbat. Le shel yom shabbat. Yishel shabbat. So you can look at those and see, you know, what bracha, when do we say al, and when do we say le? And the question is, can you work out a rule? Can you find a principle that guides you through all of this? So I brought you, and this will really make our eyes kind of go a bit cross-eyed if we go through all the details on this, just by way of example, here's something to look at later. Look at the last page. I brought you a table that he brings with all the permutations and combinations there. I'll make it smaller so you can see it in its full glory. So you go through that table, looking at every single mitzvah and every single this and every single that, and you'll be able to, you can spend a whole day looking through that table, working out how it works. But I'm just going to give you the Rosh HaPrakim. I'm just going to give you an overview of what the different people say. So, when do we say al and when do we say le? So, first of all, the Riva. The Riva seems to say as follows. Uphold the rule in the Gemara. That whenever the mitzvah is something that you're doing, when you're doing, you have to say le. Whenever it's something that someone else is doing, you're doing through a shaliach, okay, you have to say al. And so too, whenever you're doing a mitzvah immediately after the bracha, you have to say le. And if you're doing the bracha in the middle of the mitzvah, like lulav maybe, you have to say al. So he tries to give two rules. Are you doing it for yourself, or are you doing it through a shaliach? Are you doing it before, or are you doing the bracha during? But then he says, well, this doesn't exactly work. And there are always going to be exceptions. Every single rule that I bring you, you're going to say, well, hang on a minute, what about this doesn't quite fit the rule. For example, al-achilat matzah, that's the one that never quite fits. Al-achilat matzah. Al-achilat mitzvah I'm doing for myself, and I'm doing it immediately before. So according to his rules, it should be le-echol matzah. Why is it al-achilat matzah? And he says, okay, you're right. I'm not sure. Maybe we should say le-echol matzah, le-echol maror. It doesn't fit my rules. Okay, that's one approach. That's one a way of looking at it. Rabbeinu Tam, and again, I'm not going to read all of these inside. Rabbeinu Tam says, look, it depends. Is the mitzvah a one-off action? If it's a one-off action, an immediate action, so then you make the bracha al. Okay? So he wants to say, on matzah, I'm about to eat matzah, I did it, and I've done it. So al achilat matzah. However, when the mitzvah is a state, like wearing tzitzit, wearing a talus. It's lehitatefa tzitzit. It means to be enveloped in tzitzit. To be wearing tefillin. And therefore he wants to say that lehadlik nershal Chanukah. To have the Chanukah lights burning. So that's what he wants to try and say. That the lamed indicates it's a continuous state. Whereas the al indicates something that you're about to do. And then it's finished. Okay? Again, you can find exceptions to all of these. All of these. Hallel is difficult for him. Megillah is difficult for him. Everybody has to kind of fetch a little bit the exceptions and kind of like a jigsaw piece that doesn't quite fit in. Kind of just try and say, well, this is my rule and here are the exceptions. They kind of fit in this way. The Rambam is probably the most detailed. And I want to read the Rambam inside because it's very interesting. And this is not usually how we pass him, but look at this Rambam. The Rambam's obviously bothered by this. He dedicates about 15 lines of the Mishnah Torah to this question of when you say al and when you say la. So have a look, please, in number 28. Kol ha'oseh mitzvah. Anyone who does a mitzvah. Sorry, someone keeps unmuting themselves, and I'm not sure who that is, and I keep having to just mute it. Sorry. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Please just make sure the things are muted. He says like this. Kol ha'oseh mitzvah. Anyone who does a mitzvah. Ben shehaita chova, whether it's something you have to do, alav. Ben she'eina chova alav, like benching, I don't have to eat bread, so maybe I don't have to bench if I don't eat bread. Im asa oisa la'atmo, if you do it for yourself, mevarech la'asot. That's a lamad, lamad, la'asot. Asa oisa la'chein, if you do it for yourself and for others, or if you do it for others, rather just for others, mevarech al ha'asiya. You use an al. But look what he says, very interesting, ketzad. Lavash tefillin. Let's say you wear tefillin. That's for you, not for other people. Mavarech le. Lehaniyach tefillin. Nitatefa tzitzit, you want to wear tzitzit, mavarech, lehi tatefa tzitzit, it's for you. Yashav basukah, you want to sit in the sukkah, mavarech, leshe basukah. V'chein hu mavarech, lahad liknesh al Shabbos, it's for me, ligmor et ahal, it's for me. V'chein, in kava mezuzah, if I put a mezuzah on my door, lebeisa mavarech, likbo mezuzah. Asa ma'akeh legagoh, if I put a fence around my roof, mavarech, asher yishan mezuzah v'zvanu, la'asot ma'akeh. Hifrish trumot la'asmo, if I take my own trumot and ma'isras, mavarech, lahafrish. And malet, but no, if I circumcise my own son, mavarech, lamul etavah. Good. However, yudgimo. Aval im kava mezuzah la'acherim, and here's a very interesting chiddush. Says the Rambam, if I come to your house, if you say to me, Rabbi Mani, come and put a mezuzah on my door, then I make a different bracha. Mevarech al kfiat mezuzah. Because it's not for me, it's for you. Asa lahem ma'akeh, if I put a boundary around your roof. Mevarech al asiat ma'akeh. Hifrish lahem truma, if I take trumas and mashas for you. Mevarech al hafrashat truma. He changes the bracha, depending on who you're doing it for. If it's for me, it's la, and if it's for you, it's al. Mal et ben chaveru, if I do a bris mila on your child. Mevarech al hamila v'chein chiyotze b'zeh. So he says, really, the brocha can shift depending on whether it's for me when it's le, or if it's for you when it's al. And then he brings other rules as well, which I'm not getting into in great detail now. He says the same kind of thing we said before. If you do a brocha before the mitzvah, then it's more likely to be le. If it's during the mitzvah, it's more likely to be al. And he brings other rules too. That's the Rambam. But again, the Ravid. The Ravid jumps straight in. I didn't bring you the Ravid and says, but what about this? And what about that? And what about this exception? What about that exception? And there are too many exceptions to make the rules stick completely. But the Rambam has, if you like, the most worked through system of rules as to when it's le and when it's al. The Meiri basically follows the Rambam and he throws one more in. He says basically, if the main element of the mitzvah is much later, then that's more likely to be al. For example, Bir Chometz. Al Bir Chometz, think about it, on Erev Pesach, you make the brocha, Al Bir Chometz, but you're not burning the Chometz until tomorrow morning. So he says that's why it's Al. He throws that idea in, but again, he concedes, no one can get their head around Al Achilas Matzah. It doesn't work for anybody, pretty much. Al Achilas Matzah should be Le'echol Matzah. It's for me, it's straight away, etc., etc. So the Meiri is the Rambam plus. Rabbeinu Tam makes the distinctions between some mitzvahs which always apply, some mitzvahs which don't always apply, to kind of flip side a little like the Rambam. The Ritva, again, we could spend a whole day on this, the Ritva throws in another chiddush. He says there are some mitzvahs which you do for yourself. And there are some mitzvahs which you ask a shliach to do for you, but you know that they're doing it. And he says, and then there are other mitzvahs where someone can do it for you, and you didn't even know that they did it, but it still works. Like if somebody comes to my house the night before Pesach, like little house elves, and they do the mitzvah, clean up my house and get rid of all the comets, even if I didn't even know they were doing it, it's still a mitzvah. I've had my house cleaned for Pesach. Shkoyach. If somebody circumcises my child without me knowing, that child has now had a bris mila. It's had a bris mila, it's done the mitzvah. So he makes a distinction between that as well. The last two views are perhaps the most elucidating. The Rid basically says, you can choose. You know something? It's up to you. You can say al, you can say le, unless you're doing it for someone else, in which case it has to be al. So there was some fluidity, according to him, in what brocha you can make. And finally, I brought you the Ri in number 30, who says, the Ri loy matzah tam l'chol abrochas. The Ri just gave up and said, you know something? There are no rules that fit everything. Don't bother trying to find rules that try and fit everything, because there are too many exceptions, and maybe each has its own historical basis or minhag basis for it. So look, there are 8 different reasons there, and as I said to you, you can now go through that chart at the back where he's brought the mitzvah, what we say, how that fits with each of the rules, and why that works, and if you're into that kind of thing, then Gesundheit, you can do it later on. What have we not talked about? Just the last couple of minutes, what have we not talked about? We've not talked about women and making brochas on positive time bar mitzvahs, because we did talk about that a few months ago when we did women and mitzvahs. We've not talked about brochas on a minhag. That is a very important topic. Do you make a brocha on a minhag? Sometimes you do, like second day yontif. Sometimes you don't, like arava. Sometimes some people do and some people don't. like Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, where the Ashkenazim make a brocha, but the Sfaradim do not make a brocha. What about mitzvahs that don't have brochas at all? That's an interesting topic, which we didn't talk about. Why is it that you don't make a brocha on an interpersonal mitzvah, on a Bein Adam L'Chaveira mitzvah? Why don't I, when someone comes and knocks on my door and asks for tzedakah, why don't I say, oh, amazing, just stand there a minute, Asher kidishanu b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu al netinat tzedakah. Okay? And why don't I do that? Never do that. Chas v'shalom. And on a certain level, it defeats the whole object. They've come for me to help them, and I turn them into my lulav. I basically lifted them up and shook them in the air and made a brocha with them. That's not right, okay? But there are other issues as well. What about where the mitzvah itself is a brocha? We don't tend to make a brocha on a mitzvah which is a brocha. For example, benching. Why don't we make a mitzvah on benching? A brocha on benching. We should say, before we bench, we should say, Hashem kiddushanu mitzvah tzavet tzivanu al birkas amazon. And then we should start. Baruch atah Hashem. We don't do that. We don't make a brocha before we do the Haggadah. So there's all sorts of reasons there. And also we could talk about interruptions and any number of things between the brocha and the mitzvah. Not now, because we can talk about this forever. But don't forget, next week I need to get back to this little guy here, who's still sitting here in front of me, uneaten, through this whole shir, my little chocolate raisin. And I am not going to tell you now what brocha I'm about to make on this chocolate raisin. It will happen when I've already closed the Zoom. And therefore you will be left on spilkers the whole week, trying to work out what did he say? What did he say on this chocolate raisin? And next week I will show you Rav Avadia Yosef and Rav Moshe Feinstein and a number of other people on the issue of chocolate generally and on the issue of the chocolate raisin. So for now, we've had a good overview of Birkas HaMitzvah, Baruch Hashem. There's so much more to say. But we'll leave it there, and Be'ezrat Hashem next week we'll move on to the last of the three, and then from there we'll look at other things. So I wish you all a good week, a healthy week. Thank you again to our sponsors for their sponsorship ongoing, and we look forward to seeing you again, please God, soon. And I'm going to enjoy my chocolate raisin in about 15 seconds.
How do you, thank you,
thank you very much.
All the best.
Thank you, that is awesome.